Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Five of My Best with John Watts, Fisher Zedd, a really fascinating group of songs here. Now, stay tuned because at the end, John will be unveiling his number one song. And don't forget, please subscribe. It helps you because as soon as I upload a new interview on the channel, you'll find out about it. And it helps me because I need subscribers. Here's John Watts. Five of My Best with John Watts, Fisher Zedd. The first one actually is my favorite song that you had on the list. I mean, it's an old song from 1980, I think, So Long. Yeah. And what I loved about So Long is that So Long, a passage of time, but calling a song So Long is also goodbye.
I think it's my sort of thing, isn't it, really? I mean, So Long was it's quite funny. It's one of those songs where life imitated art about 20 years later. Everybody thought that my wife had left me, or I'd left my wife at that point. Because also we had, the cover of it was, as I recall, was passport shots in a passport booth. And so, you know, that kind of thing was, that was going on. Yeah, I mean, So Long, it was a story song at a time where it kind of straddled two areas, because we came out of the new wave, obviously. Funny, I was watching a Blondie documentary last night, their 1979, 1980 thing. But it came out the new wave thing. So what made us relatively successful was we were singing about different things. Half my stuff was politics and the rest of it was sort of relationships. Do you know what I mean? So you get both those things happening.
But that was your life at the time, though, wasn't it? I mean, we were both, you know, in that late 70s, the start of the Thatcher era, so politics was a massive issue if you were in Britain. And of course relationships are always a big issue.
Sure, but the idea of the politics, my interest in politics was more European wide rather than just, let's, you know, the miners and Thatcher, which I was very interested in, but that's what the punks and the initial new wave bands dealt with, those subjects. And apart from the fact the environment I was in, I was in Europe much more than anybody else anyway. At that stage, we were in Europe in a big way. When I say Europe, I mean on the continental, the EU, more than people like, I don't know, U2 and Simple Minds at that stage, because they were more Britain based. But we came in from there, and we were also, So Long was the only track that the Americans ever knew of ours, because I don't know if I told you this before, but it was one of the, well, you probably know this more than me. It was one of the first 20 videos to go on to MTV in the States. And so therefore the song that people know of if they're of a certain age, if they're music business, and even if they're not, they know that song.
Yeah, that's also interesting, because in Australia, it was actually a big success as well.
Sure, it was, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, ironically, I've just been looking at that, and we've had 3 top 20 singles in Australia, and I've never been there. I'm determined to go there. I was going to go there this year, but I'm not quite ready yet.
Okay, second one, Man in Someone Else's Skin. That's really a track that you love playing live, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. I mean, the thing about that was, I mean, that came from the radically underrated Iceberg Model album, which was critically very well received. But because if you change a brand name and you decide not to be Fisher Z anymore, then your major record company doesn't help you very much. But the three subjects I deal a lot with, and it's in my biogs and things these days, is obviously the political stuff, the psychological stuff, and the personal stuff. And this is this one is very much of a, you know, a psychological thing. I, at the stage at which I wrote that, I'd stepped away from the whole, you know, I'd stepped away from the whole Fisher Z Mark I thing. And I felt, yeah, I mean, that's it's very descriptive, Man in Someone Else's Skin. What's very strange, my family history is quite a strange one. It's quite noble, but there's a certain amount of incest in it. So I actually am quite a rich man inside a very normal man's body. I have very expensive tastes. I think that's where it must come from. There's very strange things happening 100 years ago in my family. I'm nothing to do with the fact that a certain relative had seven children with her husband, four with her brothers, and a number with the gardener. I'm quite sure I'm nothing to do with the incestuous part, which has the traits of very strange eccentricity. I'm definitely not that one.
I love the way you threw the gardener in there as well.
No, the gardener was in there as well. He was definitely...
But the gardener was no relation.
Yeah, I should be the Squire of Sanders, but I'm not.
Okay, and another one that you put down, which really has such a... Well, it seems to always have a relevance because there are always wars in this world. Further From Love.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's really about suffering, isn't it? It's really about suffering of the civilian population, which is so relevant today.
And always will be. Always will be. Even if the warfare is the Russian switching off the toilet flush, it still will affect the people that are the poorer people, the people that are less privileged. It's just gonna do it. I mean, that song particularly, it's a very big song for me, both in the solo shows and the band shows. And obviously when I recorded that at Peter's studio with Peter singing on that, which is quite funny. He was singing on the end of Further From Love, Peter Gabriel. You like that tune.
You tell me about Peter Gabriel then and that your connection at that time.
Oh, I did two albums at Real World. And the thing with Peter, I played tennis with him for months, absolutely for months. I played tennis with the guy. You know, he is such a nice man. I mean, men, women, dogs, you can't dislike Peter. He's the nicest man in the world. And also a very smart, laid-back dude. But yeah, no, we played tennis. I got to know him. This is like 20 years ago. I haven't seen him for years and years. But it was certainly fun down at Real World. When instead of, like, I can make a record in the room you're speaking to me now, apart from the drums, I can make a record that sounds just as good as you could at any studio in the world 20 years ago. So it's different. But that was still the era when they had, when you know, you where the recording process was longer. You had Michelin style food and peace and swans. I didn't like the swans. The glass floor in the studio, it was too peaceful, Real World, for me. I used to go out in big boots, shout obscenities, and they say, "How's the food today?" I was like, "It's disgusting. Absolutely disgusting." So I needed a bit of urban angst. I did two longish albums there. Destination Paradise was recorded there, and a lot of Reveal was finished there.
So what do you think Peter Gabriel learned from you?
What did he learn from me? I don't know. Everything. I don't think he learned anything, but everybody down there was very intense and very reverential. And I think, I mean, but he's not reverential. That's what's great about him. Within certainly 20 years ago, there was a whole empire down there, which was very reverential to Peter and the whole philosophy. And he was the instigator of the whole thing, but he was never afraid to laugh at himself. And there are stories I can't possibly tell you. Another artist who I had huge respect for Sinead, she was down there at the same time. And some of my sense of humor didn't go down very well with her, let's put it that way.
Sinead was very special. I remember interviewing
extraordinary. I mean, yeah. we were doing, I think we did a festival or something like that in the 83, 84, the sort of time you would have been interviewing her, when she was with that initial band. And I just thought, they're just amazing. She was bolshy then, but incredibly talented.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Stunted.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so let's move on to Huber, which means love and friendship.
Yeah.
And it was from the Fisher's Head, Head album, of course.
Huber is actually the nickname. It's my brother-in-law, who had all sorts of very, very big psychological problems. I love him, but he was difficult. The thing about that song, and one thing you were saying about So Long, no, sorry, about the Further From Love being always relevant, that's very interesting because that was relevant to him. It was a thing to do with our family, and we were going through some quite difficult times with him. Ironically, that song has applied to me recently. It's become very personalised, and it's something that it's a very important tune in the big theatre solo shows.
What was the reaction from him and from the family when you wrote that song?
I didn't get much reaction from him because he was then in Canada and there's all sorts of bits and pieces. He wasn't in a state to really understand it. The family understood what I was saying. But I think that any piece of artwork, art generally, let's go right the broad spectrum from paintings, books, the best stuff is something sincere, an individual that comes from somebody's heart. And if you're lucky, it strikes a universal chord with somebody else. That song is, again, like Further From Love is the thing. It's got a universal thing about, about the war situation, and it always will do. I mean, it's a truism. I mean, you can't get away from yourself. And I had a very, very, very difficult summer where I experienced exactly the same thing myself. I had this summer has been the most difficult summer of my life, which I've now thankfully come out of. without pills or without jumping off a cliff. So I'm now in a different place. But I really could identify with that. Anybody who's strong minded in a positive or negative way, yeah, you can't escape yourself in the end. And everybody has periods of life where they reflect in a serious way, and certain circumstances can just really trigger it. And that song, I've been singing that song. I had a very successful tour in the Benelux in September, October, and I was doing that. And I suddenly, hang on a minute, that actually applies to me, not to Huber anymore.
Oh, well, that must have been quite a revelation, to be honest.
It was. But it beats being at home crying. So therefore, you know, going out and performing is a fantastic outlet for expressing something. Also, this year, what I found was the best way out of that, and this is a slight issue and something for you, really, and that is that we've got a new record that comes out in the spring with a bad band record that's already made. But what I've done is I wrote my way out of that situation. So we released two albums this year. We'll release one in May, and I'll release another one in September, which is the positive result of a negative emotional state.
Oh, that's fascinating as well, to actually put it, you know, to be able to directly park it in lyrics and music. Yeah. You mentioned... that the summer was difficult. And at the end, I think, I don't know if it's the end of the summer or September, October, you actually went to the States, didn't you? You were in the States period.
I've been recently. I was going to go earlier. I went to Nashville for 2.5 weeks. I came back about 2 weeks ago. I went to the States and realized that I should have gone there a lot earlier with respect to my songwriting and my publishers, because I'm basically have the same publisher and it's been based in Europe. The idea that I didn't realize is there's a bloke who really understood me, who was the boss of the same company in Nashville. And so I went also to meet different musicians. I played with some of the really top session people and did a recording session with them to see what that was like. I met songwriters. I met people that, for instance, wrote the people that you admire. I met a songwriter who wrote a lot with John Prine. I met a country songwriter, brilliant guy called John Bird. I went to lots of their shows and just generally decided that I would attempt to launch the second of the records out of America and out of Nashville rather than out of New York, because the connections are very different there. And as you know, I mean, Nashville is the probably the most important music city in the world now, with certainly the most money. And the cliche is it's not just about country. I mean, my hat's funny because mine's nothing to do with Nashville. It's an English hat, you know. But it's quite funny. I often wear those hats and they're going, "Where'd you get that hat?" The Americans were saying, "Where'd you get that hat?" And people say, "You always come back from Nashville with a pair of boots and a hat." I didn't. I've got a hat. I've got European hats. I've got a grey, my famous grey Homburg made in Hamburg. That was coveted by a huge number of cowboys. "Where did you get that, man?" So I'm very proud of that. Plus the fact, I've got my sheriff's badge on today. Yes, I have. It's not a sheriff's badge. It's an Irish good luck charm. But they were taking the mick about, Wyatt Earp when I was wandering around out there.
I mean, obviously Nashville's in Tennessee. I mean, you mentioned that obviously it's a center of the music industry, but it's also now a center of the film industry. It's really, really changed. But it brings us to the final track, Zydeco, which, you know, that it's because that is a type of American dance music and originated in Louisiana, which is not a million miles away from Tennessee, obviously.
Absolutely, yeah.
So tell me about that track.
Well, first of all, that is one of the top five songs I've ever written, without any doubt. I'm so proud of that as a song. Secondly, if you get into the lyrics of it, it's an apology, in a way. It's asking apology from the universe, if you like, for anything. It's a specific apology. And without going into the personal situation too much, the idea of it, it required from me the most massive apology, and it kind of sums that up. It just sums it up, Zydeco. It's also, I have five adult children, and they're all have got very good musical taste, but one of my daughter's particularly favorite songs, and she'll always ask me to sing it. She sometimes sings on tour with us as well. But Zydeco works. I mean, I played that. I did a couple of open mics in Nashville for a laugh, because I wanted to play somewhere where nobody knew who the hell I was, and they don't give you any credit for anything. So you crawl and people are treating you like shit. You get to do 1.5 songs. They line you up. You got horrible sound and you got the same conditions as everyone else. I played Zydeco and people go, "What the hell's that?" Because everybody else was playing kind of country songs. And hopefully, if you're a professional, you should come over as such when you've got the same microphone and when you've got no monitors and when nobody knows what's going on. If you don't come over as good, then you're stuffed. I recently played a number of different little shows, like a little one in Bath, which is essentially playing to a close audience of, it's a very specific one, but 50 or 60 people, where you've got your PA system is something that people would have at their Christmas party. No fold back, no anything. And therefore, you've got people who've bought 10 of your records, and you've got to be good. You've got to be able to be in front of that mic and be good. Zydeco is my go-to song. I think that is class. Nobody can tell me it's not. And that's what it's there for. And also this summer specifically, it's yet another one of those ones that gains relevance in the same way as a song like Further From Love. Further From Love's got a great, very quick story if you want it associated with it.
Yep.
We did a show on the Rhine in Basel, where the stage is 30, 40 meters, actually in the middle of the Rhine. And we finished the set with Further From Love, which involves, obviously, I've got radio stuff and electronics. The end of the thing, we were supposed to finish with Further From Love. Then a boat comes up, picks me up. The band finished playing. I come back with the acoustic back to the shore. The audience of about 2,000 or 3,000 are on the shore in Basel. It's a beautiful show. So anyway, we come to the end of it. And for some reason, I usually name the band and they stop playing. So you de-introduce the band. And what happened was the bass player took off his shoes and dived into the Rhine. I thought, oh my God. And as I introduced them all down, they all did. I mean, they're more better swimmers than me. And I thought bands must have done it before, but nobody had. The effect on the crowd was outrageous. The Rhine's going like 100 miles an hour. They were like, whoom, disappeared. I didn't go in the water. A, I'm not a good enough swimmer. And B, I was covered in electronics. So I was resplendently playing the end of the song solo, going to the shore. And they were trying to retrieve my band from bits and pieces about 500 yards down the Rhine. Nobody's done it before. I don't think anybody will do it again.
I was actually going to ask you, because you said you've got five grown-up children. I just wondered whether they look at you as the child in the family. But from what you say there, then you're not as, you know, as childish in that sense.
No, the answer, but the thing you're looking for is I'm a wuss. I'm just not. I did a lot of sports. I played rugby, I did boxing, did all sorts of stuff. But swimming, I'm dangerous near water. My ex-wife would never let me take the children near water. I'm good in woods, okay in mountains, but in water, dreadful.
So, John, we've had the five top. That was Zydeco, Further From Love, Huber, Man in Someone Else's Skin, and of course, So Long.
Yeah.
At this moment in time, this second, which song is your favorite own song of all time?
Oof. Further From Love.
Up there is an interview I recommend. Down there is where you can find all the podcast interviews. And here is where you can connect.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.